This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today on the program, we're visiting with Ori Krug, founder of Ori Krug, Inc. She is an award-winning board-certified dance movement therapist who helps individuals and couples who have experienced trauma repair their damaged relationships. And Ori, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, certainly our pleasure to have you, and thanks for your time. So Ori, you deal specifically with people and couples who have trauma. What percentage of people have gone through some types of trauma, first of all? And while we know that obvious things like sexual abuse and domestic violence constitute trauma, what are some of the more subtle types of trauma we may not be aware of?
Well, the National Center for PTSD estimates that 60% of men and 50% of women experience at least one trauma in their lives. But I believe that the number is actually much higher because a lot of people are still unaware of their trauma, or they downplay it and dismiss it. So trauma can be any event that leaves a prolonged negative imprint on any aspect of our lives, both physically and psychologically. This could be more subtle, unpleasant experiences like, you know, you might grow up in a great home, but you still have a depressed mother who wasn't as emotionally available, or being the youngest of six siblings and experiencing minor neglect because you didn't get enough attention. Or maybe you had the best childhood experience at home, but you experienced bullying in school. Those can all be trauma.
Yeah, certainly some good points made right there. And one of those that stuck out that I never would have even considered is a mom that's depressed, not giving proper attention to that particular child. So that certainly is already an eye-opener right there. Why does trauma often lead to people sabotaging their relationships? And take us through the process of how trauma translates to the potential destruction of what might have previously been a loving relationship.
Trauma makes us overreactive and hypersensitive to threats of danger that aren't often truly present. It's like having an alarm system for your home that's overly sensitive, and even when there's someone walking 500 feet outside your house, the vibrations of those footsteps sets off the alarm, calls the police, and makes a huge deal out of something that was never actually dangerous because that person walking by never intended to break into your home. So this is how the nervous system becomes wired after trauma as well. You may hear your partner sighing loudly in frustration, or they forgot to pick up your favorite cheese from the grocery store, and all of a sudden, your inner alarm system goes into fight, flight, freeze, or shutdown response, and bam, you explode on your partner, or you shut them out for days for no rational reason. But even though there's not much rationality to it, it feels huge in the moment. But in retrospect, for so many of my clients, once they heal, they realize they were not really remotely a big deal, but it was so blown out of proportion because the threat felt so real to their survival system. So one couple that I recently worked with, they were about to get divorced before giving it one last shot by working with me. And everything, and I mean all the little things, would become huge fights and turn into, oh my God, what are we doing? We're never going to make it. Why are we even together still? Like if she asked to take out the trash, his old childhood trauma of not doing things good enough would often get triggered and he'd get defensive, or he'd put it off and not do it, which then triggered her old trauma of nobody cares about what I want or what I need. And so you can see that this cycle can completely derail a relationship because it's constantly firing red signals with every little word and every interaction. And even though they tried couples counseling and conflict resolution and coaching, those things didn't work because they didn't actually change how their nervous systems were currently wired and reacting impulsively to each other until we finally rewired that together through my dance therapy couples program.
Yeah, now that you mentioned it, let's talk a little bit about that. Why can dance movement therapy succeed where, say, the traditional talk therapy may not? And can it be effective to do both?
Yeah, so dance therapy can access trauma memories that are stored inside the nonverbal brain, including the amygdala and the hippocampus. And it can rewire the nervous system through a specialized movement process that creates new neural pathways that can change behaviors that have been stuck for a really long time. And while talk therapy is often helpful for gaining awareness, dance therapy is often more effective for trauma specifically, because the left hemisphere of our brain, which is the part that's in charge of verbal language and has the ability to make logical sense of any situation, that tends to be the less dominant hemisphere when trauma occurs. Actually, a lot of research shows that the left hemisphere often shuts down or goes offline during a traumatic event, which is why talk therapy is often limited in helping people resolve their trauma, even through cognitive awareness and mindfulness and quote unquote positive thinking. So how can we really access memories from a part of the brain that goes offline during trauma? It's like trying to save a Word document when your computer is already rebooting. It may have remembered something before the reboot, but chances are it's not very accessible. And so that's one reason. And then another thing is that the movement piece of dance therapy is crucial for breaking old patterns that stem from trauma, because movement is the vehicle for which we express ourselves and communicate to our partners. So the couple that I just mentioned earlier, they were able to see their patterns revealed once I had them communicate nonverbally through movement. We weren't spending time talking about their old discussions or fights or going over what was said, which is all left hemisphere stuff. I was actually having them move closer together and move further away, and what feelings come up when you connect and then disconnect. And one thing that I did was transformational for them was I had them move, like put into movement the way they blame each other. So this was very open-ended. They could do forceful movements. They could do direct movements, movements that were chaotic and all over the place. I just kind of left it up to them. And this, for the first time, they were able to see how their anger impacted each other by seeing the physical response in each other's bodies and realizing, oh my God, I didn't notice I was making you feel this way. I don't want to make you feel this way. And because we were doing, like having this almost role-playing blame argument in session separately from a real life argument, they could see each other more clearly than ever and change the way that they've been interacting for over a decade, because they finally had compassion instead of being stuck in fear and blame and anger and all those things that happen in a real life fight, like, oh, I have a right to be angry, so I'm just going to get mad, or, you know, the things that don't really allow you to see each other. But because we did it in movement and they could see the physical response, it created a whole different way of seeing each other.
Fabulous to hear the breakdown in the process. Really do appreciate it. Looking forward to hearing more. Today we're speaking with Ori Krug, founder of Ori Krug, Inc. She's an award-winning board-certified dance movement therapist who helps individuals and couples who have experienced trauma repair their damaged relationships, here on eHealth Radio's Health News and Relationship Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, you base your dance movement therapy practice on neuroscience. What does that mean, and what advantage does that bring to your clients?
Yes. So it means that my process and programs are science-backed by the latest research around processing trauma in a way that is first and foremost safe and effective and sustainable, which the advantage of that is my clients go through the safest process possible, which is huge because I've worked with so many clients who've done even other alternative therapies like EMDR or somatic experiencing, and their trauma symptoms had become worse after therapy. So because I understand the nuances behind regulating our nervous systems and what that looks like in each individual's physical bodies as we're moving together in session, I am able to see each client's micro movements, their micro body signals that show me in the moment that their nervous system and their body, it's about to go into a fear response. And instead of doing more damage by reacting to that fear, like they do in their, you know, their outside regular real life world, I help them regulate and move through that fear so that their bodies finally get the experience of not being hijacked into survival responses whenever the fear does come up. And that allows the individuals and the couples that I work with to stop reacting impulsively and connect more compassionately instead, not just to their partners, but also to themselves. And I've actually had dance therapists, I've had other dance therapists send their clients to work with me because the clients' trauma responses were getting worse by working with them. And it's just because the neuroscience of dance therapy isn't something we learn or practice even in our master's program. So a lot of my colleagues see me as an expert in this specific area and refer their clients to me as well.
Now, a thought here, Ori, I'm assuming that if people don't want to actually dance, they can engage in movement. What types of movement can typically be used in a session, and how simple or complex can these movements be?
Exactly. The word dance and dance therapy does throw a lot of people off. You don't have to dance. And a lot of times in session, it doesn't even look like we're dancing. One of my clients in my Let Love In program, she released her last bit of grief that she was holding in her body simply by accepting my invitation to sit down on the floor together. And this happened over Zoom. I work mostly virtually. So this client had a tendency to talk a lot, which was her defense mechanism against being in her body, which is where trauma is stored. So in one session, I asked her, basically, in a very nice way, let's stop the chatter. Let's connect to your body. And without saying any words, let's come down to the floor. And she immediately started crying because this simple movement allowed her to surrender her weight to the ground and let go and be in her body and finally feel this grief that she's been avoiding by being so much in her head. And this changed everything for her relationship because her main issue when she came to me was that whenever it was time for sexual intimacy with her husband, she would chatter and essentially distract herself and her partner from the experience. And after releasing that grief and that fear of being in her body and finding safety and pleasure again in her body, she and her husband were able to have a fulfilling sex life again. And it, you know, we worked together for 3 months, but that one session where we just came to the floor was really pivotal. So it can look as simple as that. It could be that we're standing up and moving together, but it's definitely not a typical sense of dance as most people might assume.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. And thanks for touching on that. And that is most helpful. Now, how long should a person or a couple expect to be in dance movement therapy before they actually see results?
That really depends on the dance therapist and the structure of the therapy. Most dance therapists operate like traditional therapists where they have a 60-minute session for their clients once a week for an indefinite amount of time. And this model can often take years to see lasting results. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I always knew that I wanted to do things differently and help clients get there faster because I went through many years of my own therapy being frustrated and wanting to experience results faster. So I have a unique structure where most of my clients are seeing lasting results within 3 to 6 months because I have shaped my program based on the latest neuroscientific research and guide my clients through interventions that are quickly and deeply impactful to their nervous system and their physical body. And it's also very tangible for their real life relationships. Some people before working with me are, you know, they kind of make a comment like, oh, I thought this was more airy-fairy or more abstract, but it can be really tangible. I'm actually working with a new couple right now, and they said that they've seen and felt more results in 3 weeks of working together than in any of the couples therapy or coaching that they've ever tried. And we still have 2 more months to go. So I personally really like having my clients get straight to the point of working through their issues and in a way, again, that is still safe, because so many of them have already spent so much time and so much money feeling frustrated in therapy, and they're ready to finally feel something different and experience the change that they're looking for.
Well, I have no doubt in your profession, it is quite rewarding to be able to have an impact on the lives of couples and those that you serve. And we really do appreciate what you do, as well as for joining us here today. Before you go, and in conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, or anything else you'd like to make us aware of as we do wrap things up today?
I always like to share that if you've been in therapy, if you've been trying to heal your trauma or improve your relationship for a while and you haven't experienced the change that you're looking for, to not blame yourself, that you're not broken, you're not damaged goods. And for a lot of people, if you're anything like my clients, it's that you haven't incorporated this kind of final missing piece of your body and movement that could be the thing that changes everything.
And I couldn't agree more. And Ori, a great place to conclude things here today. Thanks so much. And if listeners wanted to tap into your practice and or to get more information or to be in touch, where's the best place online to do so?
You can visit my website at oritkrug.com. So it's my name.com.
And of course, that's about as easy as it gets. And we'll leave that link within the show notes of this broadcast to aid the audiences out there mobile today. Ori, all the best. Thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much.
Anytime. We've been speaking with Ori Krug, founder of Ori Krug, Inc. She is an award-winning board-certified dance movement therapist who helps individuals and couples who have experienced trauma repair their damaged relationships. And once again, for all the details, visit oritkrug.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.